And when they called the Baal prophets together, and we know that they called on their God. And we're just going to read there in 41. Maybe we'll get into it a little more. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now and look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass, in the meanwhile, that the heaven was black, and the clouds and wind. And there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now we know here the story of Elijah. It's amazing. There's different things I could have titled this. I could have titled it Praying Up a Storm, I guess. That's really what happened. He prayed up a storm. There's different things we can look at in this story. It's such a beautiful Old Testament picture that we all know very well. But I want to talk to you tonight about the position of faith. And this is something that it can help you live for Christ and be effective. I've seen in over the last year or so traveling and preaching, I went into situations where I would go to a church and preach, and I would see a move of God at times over to Him, but I would return to the same church some months later, and people are back in the same rut they were before. And where they had gained a position in the altars and in prayer and whatever, however God chose to move in their life, I'd go back and learn that they had lost their position in faith. But I want to preach tonight on keeping your position. I want to preach on the position of faith. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you this week, Lord, this weekend for the touch and the move that we felt. And Lord, I'm not here today, God, trying to pull a bigger rabbit out of the hat and impress anybody. But I'm here tonight, God, simply trying to be obedient to the Holy Ghost. Lord, I want tonight, Lord, that you would sober our minds for a few moments. You would give us, Lord, liberty to preach this gospel. You would help us, Lord, understand, God, that your word is true. And God, that we can live by it, dear Jesus. And we thank you today, God, for everything that you do for us. God, for your goodness, for the visitation of the Holy Ghost this morning. I would, in the name of Jesus, that somebody, Lord, would hold that position. They would hold the fort, Lord Jesus. They would stand flat-footed and understand that it was because of you that they received something, and it's through you that we can keep it in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Now we understand that the concept of faith is a very unique thing as a believer, and so much hinges on this subject of faith. We understand that in the human realm, even more than even the spiritual, in the human realm, you live by faith. We do know that. You go to your spigot, you turn the nozzle, and you expect water to come out of that nozzle. I don't know if you do or not. There's been a few times I've been surprised. My faith has been upset. You know, you eat in restaurants, and you don't know who's cooking the food. And you're trusting that they're cooking it. You're trusting that it's healthy. And not only that, but you can go into a pharmacy, and there a pharmacist will give you a bottle of medicine that labels it something, and it has a liquid or a pill in it, and you just trust it is what he said it is. It'd be a mess if somebody gave you acid in an eye drop bottle and you put it in your eyes. It would be. But by faith you understand that you trust him enough, that you are trusting what they are calling that medicine. We drive along the freeway and you trust the signs. You trust that when you take an exit, you trust that it's not a cliff over there. It's just natural. That is in the natural realm that you have this faith, and that is faith in things that are seen. But as a believer, we have a different type faith. It's not a faith in things that you can, the tangible things that you can lay your eyes on, but we live by faith on things it has not seen. And we know that the greatest definition is probably in Hebrews 11:1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now I don't know about you today, I hadn't seen Jesus. It's amazing that the charismatics see him every week, you know. They open the cereal and an angel flies out of it and gives them a new message. It's just amazing. One preacher said he went fishing with Jesus. And another preacher says this, and another preacher, I'm sorry if I ain't spiritual enough or something, I hadn't seen Jesus. I felt things in my spirit, and now I feel things in my mind, and I know he's there. I'm glad I can feel my faith, but I had never tangibly touched him. But the Bible says when he was dealing with Thomas, greater is he that believes and hath not seen. Isn't it a good thing to know today that we know he's real? But you know what that is? It's by your faith. So
foundation. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. That word substantive means it is a setting under. It is a ground. It is a confidence. It is really, as a believer, everything hinges on this word called faith. It is almost like the foundation. You know, when you build a house like this church here, it is sitting on a solid foundation. And everything from there you build up there. That in the life of the believer is true. You must understand faith is so important that everything you do is built upon that word we call faith. It says the evidence, that is the proof. When you go to court, if you were to commit a murder and you were to go to court and they had evidence against you to point to you that it happened, I'm telling you, you're going to prison, friend. No way out of it. It doesn't matter how good your lawyer is, they have enough evidence. But it'd be good to know today that that faith is that evidence. You say, look, I want a tangible thing. I want something I can grab hold to. I've heard people ask before, you know, they have a tomb for Muhammad, they have a tomb for Buddha, why don't they have a tomb for Jesus? Simple enough, he's not dead. I've heard them say before, well, you can go to Turkey and get some of Muhammad's beard. I think that's pretty sick. I don't want Muhammad's beard. I care less to see it myself. I don't care about Muhammad's sword. You say, we don't even have clothes. Some people say, you know, why didn't Jesus leave us some sort of evidence like clothing or something? Well, he's not dead.
Amen.
If there was some clothing, the Catholics would have got hold of it and built a church on it.
Amen.
It's just, they just would. They have a tendency, they take up all the good spiritual sites, you know. You can't even go to Jerusalem and see anything. There's a church there. You got to talk with two priests before you get in. I just want to see where Jesus prayed. You know, it's amazing to think that. But here this word faith has so much hinging on it. You would read in Jude 1 and 20, but ye beloved, building up yourselves. Notice I said faith was the foundation. He says building up yourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You would find in 2 Peter 1 and 5, and it says, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. That was the first thing that Peter said. He was letting us know it was the very foundation that we build upon. Everything that you have in that church, everything you have spiritually, is by faith. You're saved by faith. You're healed by faith. You're filled by faith. You know you pray by faith. Everything you do is by faith. Christianity is built on this very basic thing, and without faith there isn't much left in the whole operation, because everything in Christianity that matters operates within faith. If you want grace, you need faith. If you want to know God's love and live in God's love, again, it's faith that provides the passport. If you want salvation, yet you have to have faith. If you want victory, you need faith. If you want holiness, you need faith. If you want righteousness, you need faith. It says in 11 and 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. Then again in Galatians 5 and 6, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. Oh, they get again in Ephesians 2 and 8, you are saved by grace through faith. It would appear that a lot rests on this idea of faith. It is the very linchpin of a believer. You must have faith. So we look at this very simple thing, and I want to deal with some things here tonight. Three things I want to deal with. I want to deal with your position in faith. Then I want to deal with the test that is before your position in faith. And then I want to talk about keeping your position. When we look here in the book of 1 Kings chapter 18, such an interesting story about this man named Elijah. I mean, he just shows up on the pages of the Bible. It doesn't give him a point, you know, it doesn't give him chapters of where he came from. It just simply said he shows up. He shows up and he's full of the Spirit of God. Obviously we know the story. He prayed and it quit raining for 3.5 years. I mean, it's just amazing to think that. He prayed and it quit raining. And that's amazing to me that somebody could have enough faith and could be so in tune with God that they could have fed very nature because it was the will of God. We know the story there on the Mount Carmel. There was around a period between 400 and 800 different Baal prophets. We know the story. Torah, we're going to see whose God is God. And he's going to say, we're going to have gods of the heaven. We're going to have a showdown, so to speak. And then we know that the Baal prophets did everything that they could. They begin to scream to heaven. They put the bullet there on the altar. They cut themselves a stone. And Elijah even got a little further, a little good. And he looked at them and says, maybe your God's on a vacation or something. You know, maybe he went to King's Dominion or maybe some Disney World. I don't know. Maybe he's on vacation. But then this man of God, Elijah, he steps up and with a 63-word prayer, fire rains down from heaven. And he's up to sacrifice. And Jay sucked up the water. I mean, it was just amazing occurrence here. But something you must understand here, just because Elijah seemed fired, it does not mean it was time to quit. You know what happens to us a lot of times in church? We'll feel the fire of God. We'll see the move of God. And we think that's it. But friend, understand, don't stop short of the rain. It's good to see the
of the Spirit. But I'm telling you, you still have to press. You still got to press your way in until it learns to learn again. It's good to see an answer prayer, but we must keep praying. It's good to feel a touch of God, but you must keep praying. It is good to see God move this morning, but you must keep praying. It's good when God visits His people. But Elijah here, he wasn't content with just seeing the fire. He knew that they needed the rain back in the land of Israel.
Don't stop short of the rain. I just want to say that. Don't stop short of it. Revival comes through prayer and fasting. I want to get this in your spirit here tonight. There's two key misfires when it comes to the labor of faith. And the first is this. Some people act like and believe that you don't really have to pray, that prayers are necessary to bring the purchase of the cross to this earth. Have you ever heard somebody say before, if God's going to do something, He's going to do it? The church has grown lukewarm because of that. And there's millions going to hell. You ever heard people say, well, if God's going to move me, He's just going to move me.
Yeah, come on, bro.
If God's going to do this, He's going to do this. Understand that is one of the biggest key misfires in the labor of faith. Just assuming that prayers are necessary. Assuming that God's just going to do it because it feels like doing. The second key misfire is this. Assuming prayer is still needful when your position in faith is still gained. Now, I know it's a little confusing. I'm going to deal with it. There is a place you can get in Christ that when you pray and you're asking God to do something in the church or in your life, there's a place you can get in your prayer life that finally the heavens will open up, you'll get an answer, and there's no need to pray about it anymore. You can stand on it and you say, I take that to the bank.
Yes.
And how silly would it be? Me and my wife have been married almost 3 years. The Lord dealt with me to marry her years ago. I don't know if she would still be waiting on me right now if I told her I'm still praying about it. Just think about it. This is very logical.
Amen.
Now, same thing with the call to preach. When I felt the beckoning call to preach down in the altar, it'd be mighty silly this many years later to be sitting there and saying, I don't know if I'm called or not. No, what it was, when I got down and prayed, when I got down and had an answer from heaven, there came a point in my life that I knew she was the one. I knew the Holy Ghost led me to her, and I stood up, and I didn't keep asking God. I asked her.
Amen.
I did. You said, well, did you pray? No, I got down on my knee that time, and I thank you, Lord. I know, but thank you, Lord. I'm not here asking, thank you. Honey, will you marry me? I'm glad she said yes. But understand, how silly is it there with the call to preach? How silly is it 5 years later if I would still be down on my face bawling and crying, God, what's your will? When He's holy, He called me to preach. I didn't have to keep asking Him. When He called me to preach, I stood up and said, Lord, I'll go. Will I do it? Will I read? Will I fast? Will I go in when the door is open? Because I had a position in faith. Brother Jones here has been pastoring a long time. How many years, brother? 54
years.
Would it be a mess if 54 years later he's asking God, what do you want me to do? You know how many souls wouldn't be saved?
Come on.
You know how many lives would not be changed? Do you know how many of you may not be sitting here tonight? But because a man finds a position in faith, and he says, look, I know what God told me. I'm going to stand on it. I want to encourage you tonight, church. There is a place in Christ and in God in your prayer life that God can speak to you. He can say the prodigal's coming home. He can say you are healed. He can say you can make it. He can say you're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. There is a position that you can stand upon. I'm telling you, it's a good thing to know that God can put things in our spirit, and you ain't got to sit there and beat the air. But you can stand up and say, I know it's going to happen. It's a position of faith. It's when God gives you something and you know without a shadow of doubt it's coming. You get what I'm saying. Before I move along, I want this to get in your spirit. Understand, God can give us this position. Reese Howell said something like this. He said, further prayer would have shown a lack of faith. Fervent prayer would have shown a lack of faith. If there comes a time in the life of a believer, in some
some situations where you're asking God for something and He desires to give it to you. He says, knock and it shall be open. Ask and you shall receive. There will come a time He'll give you an answer and you can stand on it. We're going to look at the story of Elijah here. And here we understand He's seen the fire. We understand all of a sudden He didn't stop there. But He's going to a place to pray. He knows that God is wanting to bring rain back to Israel. And that's what the Bible says this. The very first thing I'm going to talk about, it is the hearing of faith. It is discerning God's agenda. This is what Elijah said. He says, there is the sound of the abundance of rain. Now I want to touch this real quick. God didn't tell Ahab. God didn't tell Elijah's servant. God didn't tell Elijah's family. God didn't tell this over here. God spoke to Elijah. He had not so much speaking, but He heard it in His spirit. I want to encourage you today. There's some things that may be up the road that have yet to come to pass, but you can discern it in your spirit. The man of God can hear it in his spirit. Elijah said, I hear rain. Somebody may have looked at Elijah and said, rain, are you crazy? It hadn't rained in 3.5 years. He said, I can't explain it, but I hear the rain hitting the tin roof. I know it's coming down. I feel it in my spirit. I feel it in my mind. Rain is coming to Israel. I know it's there. I heard it. It's in my spirit. God deposited it in me. Don't you love when God puts something in you? And nobody else knows about it. You just know about it. Referring to it again, when I got called to preach, I was so scared. I thought I was schizophrenic. I mean, man, I said, I know God said something. I said, Lord. And I got so nervous, I walked out the church and locked my keys in there. And I looked back and my cell phone's in there too. I said, I got a car key. Only place to go is the pastor's house. I grabbed the pastor's house. I said, Lord, I don't know if this is real or not. I didn't receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I just know He spoke it in my heart. I heard rain is all I can say. I just know He said it. I go to the pastor's house. He said I was white as a ghost. I came to the door and all I could say is I'm called to preach. I said, I need the Holy Ghost though. I know that. Received the Holy Ghost not too long after, maybe a month or so later, a few weeks, whatever it was. And I'll tell you, I've been there ever since because I have that position of faith. I heard it in my spirit. Here Elijah hears something in his spirit. Everybody else didn't hear it, but he heard it. The second phase of his faith was this. It was the bending. It's knowing that God's agenda can only be accomplished via prayer. Elijah went up to the top of Carmel and he cast himself down upon the earth and he put his faith between his knees. He says, look, I know God is going to do something. I heard it in my spirit. I heard the rain is coming. But it ain't good enough not just to sit there. I want to speed it up. I want to pray about it. I want to make sure. And that's when Elijah went to Mount Carmel. And he began to pray that God's will would be fulfilled in Israel.
I've been on the phone with quite a few ministers just over the months. I'm not the only one that feels God's wanting to do something. How many believes that? But I don't want to discourage you or myself. The only way it's going to come to pass is through a praying church. I love to hear you have prayer meetings. That's encouraging. I love to hear that the women get. That's needed. Because we must bring God's agenda to this world. The third phase of His faith is this. It is the watching. It is seeking the breakthrough in the natural realm. And He said to His servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. There's nothing there. Naturally in the human realm, you naturally think, well, Lord, I knew I heard something. Maybe I didn't really hear it. Maybe it really wasn't there. Maybe God didn't really say that. Maybe God didn't really say He could heal. Maybe God didn't really say I was to do this. And I'm telling you, when Elijah's servant came back and Elijah was seeking for a breakthrough in the natural world, that servant came back and said, I don't see nothing. You know what Elijah said? He said, go again.
Amen.
Amen. He came back again. Elijah, nothing. Son, go back. Elijah, I'm tired, man. I'm hungry. I don't see no rain. Son, go back. Come back, you know, maybe three, four, or five times. You know, everybody usually gives up by then. Everybody usually, oh, that's it. Elijah, you're laying on your face. I'm running around. I don't see nothing. Hey, man, go back again.
You ever heard of somebody, now I know how many younger generation don't see it. Have you ever heard of somebody just knocking on heaven's door and just keep knocking? And all of a sudden they come out of a prayer closet and said, I got the answer. I didn't see the first day. I didn't see the second day. I didn't see it. But you know what? I was asking God about it, and I've seen it today.
Amen.
What about Luke 18 about that woman that kept coming? It was an unrighteous judge, unjust judge there. And a woman kept coming to him and kept coming to his throne and kept saying, avenge me of my adversary.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what that king said? He pretty much said, I don't fear God. But that crazy woman keeps coming here.
Right.
I'm going to do what she wants me to do. She needs to, I'm telling, don't make no sense. I care less about her adversary. I care less about her situation. Oh, I'm telling you, God will just understand if an unjust judge would do that. How much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? How much more will He bless you when somebody, when He loves us, He cares for us, and we keep on asking? He's a Father who desires to give to you. Keep on knocking. Keep on asking. He will eventually give your heart's desire. Here is Elijah. The servant's going back and forth, man, like a UPS driver. He just back and forth. He's going back and forth. And all of a sudden, the fourth phase is this. It is the persistence. It's wrestling until the breaking of day. And he said, go again 7 times. He touched that. But then the fifth phase is this. It is the witness. It is the initial evidence that the prayer work is finished. Elijah said, the young man come back to Elijah and said this, behold, there arose a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. Now, I don't know, sometimes you ever get down and pray and kind of get premeditated thoughts of what you think God is going to do? And then when He really moves, you're like, I didn't think it was going to happen that way.
Amen.
Has anybody ever done that?
Yeah.
I thought God was going to move in this way. Maybe Elijah's sitting down there. He's praying and he's expecting that servant to come back and say, there's a Urakodon up the hill there. You better get going. There's a hurricane. They're talking about it on the news. We better get out of here. You better find shelter, Elijah. He comes back. Hey, Elijah. No rain, but there's this little... It's a cloud, I guess. It's a little cloud about the size of a man's hand. Let me tell you what Elijah did. He got up. That's enough. I want to tell somebody in this room today, quit waiting for the storm. Quit waiting for it to come with fireworks. Quit waiting for it to come with some angel, with an angelic message in a choir. Sometimes that don't happen. All Elijah got was a little cloud, and this is all of a sudden, this is what I want you to understand, that small cloud was all that he needed. And then all of his sixth phase of his faith was this. It was his position had been gained. He had utter confidence that the rain was back in Israel. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, and get thee down for the rain. Don't let the rain stop you. Maybe the servant said, now look, I've been running back and forth all day. There's this little pathetic looking cloud out there.
Right.
And you want me to go to the king of Israel and tell him it's about to rain? Elijah, can we wait till there's a few more clouds? At least let it look like it's going to rain. But Elijah, in his spirit, he knew what he heard. He knew what he had been praying about. And when that servant came back and said, it's just a small thing, Elijah said, go tell Ahab, there's going to come a storm, there's going to come a rain, there's going to come something that he can't even comprehend. The rain is back in Israel. In the age of sci-fi so prevalent, we often put our minds of what God's going to do, what's been seen in the latest HBO film. God ain't going to show up with the S on His chest. God ain't going to show up with armor on and stuff. God ain't going to do that. You tell you why a lot of times what God does when we take it for granted and think that it is small is because we often try to compare something in this world. We try to make it a worldly thing. We want to make it tangible. But there's got to come a time that your faith arises and says, that's not exactly what I thought it was. That's not exactly what I thought it was going to be. But it's exactly the answer to my prayer. It is exactly the move of God I was looking for. It was the exact word that came from the preacher. It was that song I wanted to hear. And all of a sudden you stand up and say, it is coming back to Israel.
Hallelujah.
Here Elijah is. He says, go get Ahab. Then the seventh phase is this. The inevitable outcome of the real working of faith. And there was a great rain. Pretty much says, take it to the bank, servant. Go tell Ahab. Wouldn't it be amazing if something could happen right here in this church? That you could go out to the streets here. You could find the drunkard and said, what you've been looking for is in that church. And I don't have a doubt. If you're looking for deliverance, I'm not saying maybe so. You're going to get it if you go there. We read about the crusades and the tent meetings where so many people got healed. You can tell you what, people drove across the country because somebody had established a position in faith and they knew that if you went there, if you knew the man of God prayed for you, you knew you were going to get healed. But now I have to compare it to everything else. I want to just deal with this a few more moments. There is a test before the position. The position of faith is always after the test of faith. You want to read in Hebrews 6, 13 and 15? For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing will I bless thee, and multiply I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. There was an endurance before the answer. We've got to learn in life there's often tests and trials that cause us to make us to be patient. We often get so impatient. We want it on the first prayer. We want it on the second prayer. James 1 and 3 says this, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. That word patient means endurance. It means to be constant. It means to remain unmoved. It means to have a position. God may give you the position you need in the trials that you go through. We look at the story of David. I want to show you his position of faith right quick. In 1 Samuel 17 and 37, David, we know the story. He's about to go out before Goliath. But this is what David said. Moreover, the Lord had delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He would deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And David said unto, and Saul said unto David, go and the Lord be with you. And Saul armed David with his armor. We know the story. That David said, I have not proven this armor. This is not where I got my position. It wasn't with your armor. But you understand this. This is what I wanted to get in your mind. He had a test of faith before he had a position of faith. Don't think that David just walked out in the battlefield and said, Goliath, you're going down. No, there was something that instilled faith in him. He's looking at Saul, and hey, Saul. And Saul's probably looking at him and said, you pipsqueak, you know, you little thing, you're going to go out there and fight this giant. Are you crazy? But he said, no, I'm not crazy. One day I was watching my sheep. And all of a sudden this big old bear come out. And I don't understand it, but I felt the anointing. And I went over there, I was able to snatch that lamb. I don't know how it happened. I mean, I know at first I was a little afraid. At first I was a little hesitant. I didn't know if I could do it. But I felt the Lord. I know what He told me to do. I went over there and saved that lamb. And now I got a nice bear rug in my living room. Well, you killed a bear, David. We're talking about Goliath, man. Be real. No, Saul, listen. Listen to me. There was another time. The old king of the jungle come out himself. Big old lion, big old kitty cat. I mean, big. He came out, and just like the bear did, he grabbed one of my lambs. Well, I looked over there at him, and I thought to myself, well, last time God helped me with that bear. You know what? When God helped me with it, God, I can do this too. You understand what I'm saying? And there, maybe he was a little bit more hesitant. Maybe for a moment, maybe he doubted. But he remembered the bear. He grabbed enough faith that he stepped forward and he delivered the lamb out of the mouth of the lion. That was a nice lion head above his fireplace. But now, Israel's at a standstill in the Valley of Elah. And that uncircumcised Philistine's down there coming out in the morning. And it's amazing to study and understand how they would do that. They would put that nice brass armor on that giant. And he'd walk out early in the morning and the sun would glisten off of him and just make him look bigger than what he was. And he's out there, he's boasting and he's fussing. And then, you know, the Bible says he went out early in the morning, he went out in the afternoon. And when the sun was going down in the afternoon, just enough that giant would go out there, the sun is shining off his armor. And there everybody's afraid, this big bad giant. But David walks out there and says, him!
Saul. We can take this guy. I fought a bear, and God helped me. I fought a lion, and God helped me. I ain't worried about this punk.
Yeah. God helped
him. He had a test of faith. The bear and the lion was his test of faith. But when he faced Goliath, he didn't need to be tested. He had a position. He said, I know without a shadow of a doubt I can take him down. The uncircumcised Philistine will be just like that bear. He'll be just like that lion. God help me do it then. God help me do it now. Anybody ever been tested? Isn't it good to know that when you overstep one sickness, you didn't know if you could make it then. But you face another one and you think to yourself, God did it. I can make it.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing that, you know, you go through one night, I don't know if you've ever faced any form of depression before. I had very vaguely years ago. I remember going through a time, I mean, just miserable. I mean, I don't know if you've ever faced a little bit of it. Some of you may know what I'm talking about. You just don't feel like getting up in the morning. It's just a mind battle. It's just the devil's fight in your thoughts. I mean, the alarm goes off. I remember being so frustrated. I want to turn it off. Didn't want to go to work. Didn't really want to go to church. Just I had a lot of things to get in my spirit. But you know what? I overcame that. I felt the pressure knock on my door again. You know what I was able to do? Jump right over it.
Amen.
You tell you why? Because I've been tested. And when God brought me through it, I said, I've got a position. God can do it.
Yes, yes.
David here knew that this was his position of faith. Because of that lion up there, he said, I know that Goliath is going down. Let me get to my third point is this. And this is after you gain a position of faith, you've got to learn to keep that position. You've got to learn to set up a garrison. Once a position is gained, it must be kept. In 1 Timothy 6:20, Paul said, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Hey, Timothy, you've been given some things, son. Keep it. Isn't it amazing this morning the Lord come by and visit us? And if God did anything in your life, the natural thing to do is, the next few days, slide right back to what you were yesterday.
Amen.
It took me years to understand, why do people go from revival to revival, getting saved, getting touched, one revival here, and they're just dragging, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it just... And they come next revival, they'll get a touch, get a blessing, whatever, however God chooses to do it. And then all of a sudden, the evangelist leaves and they're dragging the church. I don't know if I can make it, brother. I don't know if I can stand another trial. I don't know if I can make it another day. And all of a sudden, the camp meeting comes up and they're running the aisles, they're all happy. Camp meeting's over, they're dragging again. You know what it is? They did not keep their position. God wants to, He blesses you. He does it to encourage you. And to help you go forward.
Right,
I remember, I know the Lord chased me around. My little sister, when she was seeking for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, she would get so close, stammering lips. Well, I don't know how it was when you got the Holy Ghost, but some are saying send the rain, some are saying send the fire. Some are saying knock it down, some are saying lift them up. Some are saying run them, Lord. Others say slow them down. Little sister, we're praying for her. She'd get so close. We're all happy. We're clapping our hands. She'd get stammering lips. And then, and not that it was a bad thing, but she would get there. She would get so tired and exhausted. She didn't get the Holy Ghost that night. It would happen again later on. Maybe another service here or another youth meeting here. Finally, one day, I felt her rise up in me. I told her, quit starting over every time you seek it. You had stammering lips last night, Kayla. Won't you start off stammering lips today?
Amen.
Why do you feel like you ain't got to choke this thing? The Holy Ghost wants to give it to you.
Yeah.
I can't explain. I'm not saying it was anything to do with me. But I felt the Lord put that in my spirit and told her, just step back in where you were last night. If you were in ankle deep last night, get ankle deep. If you were loin deep last night, jump on out. Look, you dive on in the water. And then I've seen the Lord pure. I've seen the Lord take her through to the baptism in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
If you're seeking after it, you ain't got to start over. You get a new experience in Christ, keep it.
Amen.
You get a new touch in the prayer closet, stand up and say, I'll hold on to that.
Yeah.
Understand, that's what he told Timothy. Don't keep that which is committed to thy trust. But he also said in 2 Timothy 1:14, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. And you say, look, Timothy, I know at times it's tough. I know at times you get weak. But that Holy Ghost is a keeper as well. He'll help you hold on to it. He'll get down and pray. He'll remind you of it. will stir up your remembrance, and He'll let you know what you had before was real. He said, keep it by the Holy Ghost. He understands that we cannot do it alone all the time. What I'm trying to get in your mind tonight is setting up a position of faith when God does something in your life. When a territory is gained, this is called setting up a garrison. When a territory is gained, a regiment is always left behind to ensure that the newly acquired property is kept. When the U.S. soldiers went on D-Day, and they caught the beach there, and they took it over. It'd be crazy to leave it. No, you know what that is? Made a beachhead. And he says, look, we came this far into the enemy's territory. Let's keep going.
Right.
Let's keep going. Let's keep moving forward. And that's what God wants us to understand. We can set up a garrison. How do you do that, Brother Dad? You remember your position. You remember that touch. You remember the line in the bed. You remember what was gained. And you don't go back to the position of unbelief in any matter. Territory that is gained is territory that is gained. Keep that which was committed unto thy trust. When God gives you the Holy Ghost, He's trusting you. When God gives you a testimony, when God saves you, He trusts you to maintain it.
Yes.
He knows you get weak at times, but He'll be there to help you. You can keep that territory. Understand this. You know, this was William Wallace. I know that the movies over the years have perverted him, but at one time he was actually a leader over there. He said this, but did the clouds rain fire and the earth open beneath me, I would not stir, for I know who planted me here, and as long as He wills me to stand, neither man nor devil can move me hence. I'm here. Devil, you may fight me up the road, but you ain't pushing me back from this place.
Amen.
Amen. God, devil, you may do this, but I'm not going backwards from here. In Jude 1:24, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. You said, Brother Dad, what if I fail? There's one that's able to keep you from falling. I know that when you're trying to maintain a position, I know at times you get tired. I know at times you get weary. I know your warfare is real. I know the devil fights your mind. But there is one that is able to keep you from falling. And not only that, but He will keep you with the presence of His glory and with exceeding joy.
Amen.
That means I can fight the devil and keep my position with a smile on my face.
Amen.
You ain't going to look like you've been sucking on lemons. See, I'm just saying, I know at times we do look like that. That big old, you know. Anybody ever been a warhead?
Yeah.
I laugh at that little guy on the package. I mean, his cheeks are just sucked in. He just... I've seen it in congregations. Not saying here. I've seen it in congregations. And I said, these folks, I said, what the world's going on here? You know, you just don't understand it all. But this is what we must understand. I won't take much longer than this. That there has been a position gained in your faith. That's why Jude 1:3 says, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. That's all it comes to the piano. You've got to gain a position. I know I referred back to this morning, but it was a breakthrough.
Amen.
For some of them. I mean, just saying, God did something in my heart.
Amen.
And I would be mighty silly tomorrow to sit there and go home and act like nothing has ever happened for me.
Yeah.
You know? Be mighty silly for God to do something in your life. And all of a sudden for you to feel like it doesn't matter, it didn't happen. Jesus Christ left us a position of faith.
Yes.
He left us a position. Let me have your minds and listen. When you need salvation, let me tell you what that is. That's a position that Jesus left you. When you're looking for the Holy Ghost, that is a position that Jesus allowed you to come to. If you need healing, that is a position that was gained by Jesus. When Jesus went to Calvary, He gained a position in the spiritual world. And not a devil in hell can stop what happened over 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
You don't think there's ever come a time the devil just wish I didn't let him go to Calvary? Because once he put his foot down, I had to turn loose. The heel of the stripes are over. By his stripes we are healed. I wonder if the devil ever thinks, I wish I never gave him that much position. I wish I was smarter than God. That's what he thinks. But that position is gained. Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. That's a position gained. Freedom, healing, deliverance. It is all a position gained. When Jesus went through the test of his faith, through the wilderness, he fasted 40 days, through Gethsemane, he went to the cross. That was the test, but then he found the position. And it is forever settled in heaven. We read in Ephesians 1 and 20, it says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and he set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. You want to tell you what that is? It's a position. When Jesus sat down beside the Father, position gained. But you go on to read in Ephesians 2 and 6, it says this, and had raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. So what the Bible simply is teaching us is that Jesus gained a position for our victory. And because he gained a position, he says, take a seat. What is mine is yours. All you got to simply do is claim it by what? Faith. I don't know if I said this the other night or not, but how many years do people struggle with sin without coming to the realization that I reckon myself dead in Christ? That I'm dead in Him. Martin Luther, the Reformer, said this. He said, when the devil comes knocking, I send Jesus to the door. Think about it. When the devil comes to Daddy Jones and says, Derek, don't you? I'm like, Derek, who? He's dead. Christ is here. This is the position. Simply today, this is just going to be a simple altar call. If you would stand to your feet. I would that somebody today would understand this simple truth, that you can stand in your position in faith. We read in James chapter 5 and verses 17 and 18, it says this, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth fruit. So that when we look in the Old Testament, we see Elijah that gained that. He heard it in his spirit. He heard the rain coming. He prayed and it rained. The New Testament lets us know Elijah's just like you are. He prayed just like you pray. I wish somebody today would tune their ear in. Can somebody say, I hear rain? Can somebody say, look, there's something I've been praying about for years. I'm going to keep on praying about it. And I wish somebody would say, you know what? God already gave me a position. I'm going to stand on it. I'm going to stand on it. If God promised you something, stand on it. You say, I need Him in my body. Stand on it. We don't live by the symptoms. We live by the position gained at Calvary that I'm healed. You say, I prayed, I know I got healed, but I left and I felt the pain. It wasn't your pain. You healed. Simple faith and a position in faith. God awakens in our spirit. Find your place to pray tonight. I know it's a simple message, but I really felt it in my spirit. If you would empty them pews, find your place to pray tonight. And somebody, I would that you'd find a position in faith. Oh, I would tonight that somebody would hear the rain.